What products come to mind when I say leather? Leather seats in your car, a leather couch, how about a leather purse or wallet? Those are all common leather products, but did you know that sports equipment can also be made of leather, such as balls, cleats, punching bags, and gloves? I mean, that's where we get phrases such as flashing some leather from baseball or throw some leather in boxing. We've already talked about baseball in this podcast series, so for this segment, we're going with a boxing motif.
Let's get ready to rumble!
And if you have a problem with that, then take it up with Tyson Fury. The leather industry in the United States, while not as prosperous as in days past, is still a significant market in textiles, clothing, and sports, sort of like George Foreman in the 90s. And cattle hides are still one of the most valuable co-products from the meatpacking industry, especially exporting hides to other countries where leather products are in high demand. Producing leather from animal hides is a tricky process, like trying to avoid a right hook from Rocky Marciano. It could also be labor-intensive, expensive, and involve safety and environmental hazards. Safety is paramount, especially when entering the ring against someone ferocious like Mike Tyson. Over the years, the Leather Research Liaison Consortium has asked ARS researchers for help making leather processing safer, more efficient, and more profitable. And like a winning prize fighter like Evander Holyfield, ARS has been there to answer the bell.
We would typically meet at our facility here in the Philadelphia area, and they would come up with a laundry list, usually somewhere around 10 different problems, and they would try to prioritize that list to say, these are problems we're having, and we would really appreciate you guys working on them. And I would say for the most part, a lot of those problems were addressed, and they were addressed well. One of the examples, which was a pretty big one, was reusing chrome shavings. When you make chrome tanned leather and you have to trim the leather to make your leather final products, what do you do if the residual pieces of leather that have chromium in them? Well, they found a way of removing the chromium and recovering the leather, which essentially can be converted to gelatin. The photographic industry at the time, of course, likes that for making photographic film. So that was one of the side projects, reducing waste in the environment and finding, you know, end usage to feed other marketplaces.
That's Dr. Andrew Gehring, a research leader at ARS's Eastern Regional Research Center in Windmore, Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia, where Smokin' Joe Frazier made a name for himself. Gehring currently works on studying foodborne pathogens, but he was primarily involved in leather research when he first started at ARS back in the late 90s. Turning leather into a gelatin was just one way ARS researchers found value from waste in leather-making production. Later on in the podcast, you'll hear about other methods that may, well, have you grinding your teeth. But for now, let's talk about some novel, environmentally friendly methods ARS developed to turn cattle hides into leather. One such method was using alternative solutions to salt to preserve the hides before they went to the tanning process. For decades, maybe longer, salt was used to kill the bacteria and preserve the hides because it draws out water. But each salt-cured hide could produce tens to hundreds of gallons of saltwater waste, posing a disposal problem. Salt may also make the hide rougher and affect the premium top layer of the hide.
There's certain bacteria that grow in hides that can damage them, and even in salt, there's still some bacteria that don't mind it and will still grow in hides and cause damage. So yes, there were some alternative processes that were looked at, like electron beam radiation and adding, for example, bile salts to salt. There's certain bacteria called ancient archaeobacteria could grow in the presence of salt, but if you add bile, that would kill them and prevent them from growing. That was one of the interventions that we had looked at and used.
ARS researchers identified several solutions to the salt problem, including using potassium chloride, electron beam irradiation, and gamma irradiation. Each was an effective, viable alternative to curing hides with salt. Using potassium chloride to tan hides would benefit the environment because it was a plant nutrient, and both electron beam irradiation and gamma irradiation protected hides from bacteria.
There was some testing done in the United States, some of the tanneries that had taken on interest in this beta radiation done through electron beam. And they not only saw that the hides were getting preserved, but they actually got reportedly a better yield of the square footage of their leather product. Now, to tanners is, you know, good as gold. So that was an added benefit.
Another issue the leather industry wanted help with was speeding up the dehairing process, removing the hair from the hide before it went to tanning. The traditional method was to use a 2% sodium sulfide solution to dissolve the hair, but that could take 4 to 6 hours.
One of the last big projects I worked on was the rapid dehairing or rapid unhairing. With the U.S. trying to compete globally, you have the concerns about the cost of labor, you have your environmental pollutants, while you also have time is a big issue. If you can speed up your manufacturing process, you can perhaps compete better on a global stage. The Eastern Regional Research Center in the Philadelphia area generated what was called a 24-hour tanning process. In part to make that work, they came up with a rapid dehairing method, which instead of using 2% sodium sulfide, they use 10%. And that can remove hair in minutes from a hide. So it works fast. The problem is if you leave it on too long, it'll start burning the top layer of the leather, which is called the grain. That's top grain leather. You're ruining the chances of making really nice leather for furniture if you burn that grain off. We had further optimized that process looking at using, for example, hydrogen peroxide as a neutralizer of residual sodium sulfide.
The process involved adding the hydrogen peroxide solution to not only the hide, but the entire carcass during the normal washing cycle, sort of like adding detergent to an automated car wash. This process helped neutralize any residual sulfide to prevent any subsequent burning or destruction of the top layer.
That's what Future Beef Operations ended up not only doing, but succeeding at it. And they produced really good leather out of that. And you could literally dehair a carcass in minutes.
Here's an interesting did you know. Did you know that animal hair, such as hair from these hides, has been tested for use in teeth implants and bandages? That's because the hairs contain high concentrations of the protein keratin. Keratin is what helps keep your skin, hair, and nails strong.
Keratin, if it's made into a polymer and then into a bioimplant, the implants, the human body doesn't reject bovine hair keratin protein. So it was a pretty cool idea. Now, Southwest Research Institute found they were making bandages out of these keratin polymers and finding that there was wound healing properties. Wounds were healing faster with these bandages. Like, what's up with that? Well, there was growth factors inside the hair that were serendipitously improving the wounds that they were just trying to bandage with these breathable keratin-based bandages.
This provided the cattle industry with yet another revenue stream. And although the keratin fragments were tiny, they held a lot of value because of their strength and healing properties. Another major concern for the U.S. leather industry was worker safety. Workers often had to handle and be exposed to harsh chemicals during the different leather-making processes, such as dehairing, tanning, and crusting, which is the finishing process. They had to be protected from these harsh elements because they could cause both short- and long-term health effects.
The beam house is where the hides are removed, and then the hides are taken to tan yard, tanned, and then you can probably bring them back even to the beam house to do your final processes, adding color, adding fats and oils. But if you get those chemicals mixed, the sulfide and the acid, you can produce deadly hydrogen sulfide gas, and it smells apparently a little bit like rotten eggs, but by the time people start smelling that, they're passing out, getting asphyxiated. And then stories are people are coming in and trying to save these people, and they end up getting overwhelmed by the gas as well.
ARS researchers helped develop safer methods for handling the harsh chemicals, which not only could cause asphyxiation, but also burn your skin. They found that urea sulfate was a safer alternative to formic acid during the chrome tanning process. Urea sulfate, which is an herbicide that is non-toxic to animals and birds, could also be used in place of sulfuric acid during the tanning process. In either case, the herbicide did not reduce the quality of the leather. Researchers also worked on washing out and neutralizing acids in the final stages of processing to ensure the end product is safe for consumers. This includes boxing gloves for prize fighters, such as one of my favorites, the late great Pernell Whitaker.